We are living in perhaps one of the most exciting times that has been possible. We have a golden opportunity to share the truth of Jesus Christ, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray this morning that you would truly minister your truth. That, Lord, you'd open up our hearts and that our lives would be good ground to receive the seed of truth, that it will be sown and no one or nothing will rob us of the truth, but it will germinate and grow and bring forth much fruit, Lord, to your praise, but also to the extending of your rule and reign in the earth. Father, we so need your help in this day and generation. So minister to us. Holy Spirit, I give you free access. I want you to come amongst us and just do what is on the Father's heart in this gathering this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles or you have a Bible app, I'm going to turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians and the second chapter. And I want to read verse 1. I'm just going to take a single phrase from this verse. This verse I'm reading from an ESV translation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy and be by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. The phrase I want to take is from verse 1. If there is any participation in the Spirit. Some translations will say, is there any fellowship in the Spirit? Or is there any fellowship of the Spirit? And it's that participation in the Spirit. So if I was to give a title to what I want to share this morning, it's this. God is offering you an invitation to participation. God is offering you and me an invitation to participation, to participate, to fellowship in the Spirit. To me, the Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his life. It's reckoned this is probably one of the last pieces of Scripture that we have that is written by him. And coming to the end of his life, he's throwing out a challenge, what I call our spiritual living standards. And he's asking us, what is our spiritual living standard? Not the natural, but the supernatural. What is our spiritual living standard? Now, let me just clarify what I mean. Because I use the word spiritual. Now, throughout the New Testament, this word keeps coming up. You have in Corinthians, it talks about Paul saying, brothers, sisters, I would not have you ignorant about spiritual, and we add gifts on. I would not have you ignorant about spiritual. Now, when the Apostle Paul says that, he's kindly saying you are. You're a little thick in this area. He's talking to the Corinthians, not to you. But he's saying you are a little uneducated in the whole realm of spirituals. And then he talks about spiritual gifts there in Ephesians. It talks about spiritual songs back in Corinthians, spiritual thoughts, spiritual words, spiritual sacrifices over in Peter. So this word spiritual, what does it mean? This is my definition. It is an interaction of the Holy Spirit with your spirit, my spirit, to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. Right now, the Spirit of God is omnipresent. I believe because we have gathered together in a divine agreement, we have come in agreement. Therefore, where brethren and sisters are dwelling in unity, there God comes amongst us. There is a power in agreement. You can always go, yeah, I agree with that. Even if you say rubbish, Chris, that's absolute rubbish. You know, I don't mind. I like a response, though. But when God comes amongst us, there is that presence of God that we can plug into. It's like this building has electricity all around it. We just need to plug in. Now, the Spirit of God has already searched the Father's heart, and He wants to reveal to us what is the will of God for any moment of time. And so when we're talking about spiritual things, we're talking about an interaction of the Holy Spirit with my spirit to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. Now, I'm up to be a candidate to have an interaction with the Holy Spirit. Chris, that's good because you're probably a minority right there. I want the Spirit of God. Well, let me move on. We need to address the elephant in the room. Because I've been around spiritual Pentecostal charismatic circles for over 50 years. I've seen movements that have become so exclusive that there is no inclusion of those outside. I have seen leaders exercise so-called spiritual authority whereby they've restricted rather than released people. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I've seen what it does to people. And it so often puts us into different groups. And you may not feel that this is anything to do with you, but there are those who I put into the group of being disillusioned. You can be disillusioned about spiritual things because you've seen an imbalance. You've seen a misuse of spiritual things. I would say you cannot become disillusioned unless you are firstly illusioned. You have to have an illusion. But Scripture doesn't offer us an illusion. It offers us illumination into what is the will of God. And so what we see with these eyes and what we hear with these ears is not always necessarily what God wants. So we can become disillusioned. There are those, sad to say, who are damaged, who have been spiritually abused. I never thought in my youth I'd ever come to a day when I talk about spiritual abuse. But there are those who have been spiritually abused. I myself have exercised people using authority in a wrong way, and I've exercised the spiritual abuse in the house of God. They've taken biblical authority and used it wrongly. So there are those who are disillusioned. There are those that sometimes are damaged. And then are what I call the dabblers. The dabblers. They kind of tip their toe in the waters of the things of the Spirit. When I learned to swim, I don't like water particularly. It was a lesson in school, you had to learn to swim. Now it's all right when you first go because they put so much buoyancy on you, there's no way you're going to sink. You've got armbands, leg bands, neck bands, throat bands, what? You've got every band you can think of. And it's just wonderful, it's enjoyable. But swimming teachers seem to have some, I don't know what it is, I don't know how to frame it, but week by week they gradually remove the buoyancy. And they teach you the various strokes, and there comes a point when you're in this element that you're not used to. It's water. It's, you know, it's not necessarily a comfortable environment, but there comes a point with all that you have heard, you have to put into practice and launch out. And I remember the first time they said, right, Christopher, you will swim from, it was about that doorway there to about here. We'd like you to swim without any buoyancy. Go from here to here. And I did it. I thought pretty well. I swam. The teacher said, well, next time we do it, would you like to take both feet off the ground? I kind of hopped from one side to the other because I didn't feel comfortable in that whole environment. And sometimes when it comes to the realm of the things of the Spirit, because of our education, our experience, and our environment, we can become those who would just dip our toe in. But then there are the final group, which I call the diehards. The diehards. I grew up in a spiritual environment. I have seen all the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I tell you what, I still believe the Holy Spirit is the executor of God's will. He is the interactive friend. He is the dynamic force. Without the Spirit, we will be like spiritual orphans instead of spiritual sons. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the Spirit who will come alongside you. He will be your comforter. He will be your alongsider who will walk with you. Because without Him, you will not function as I want you to function. So the Spirit of God is so vitally important. He is what I call the invading force, the interactive friend. So often it's just simply, Holy Spirit, help me right now. Help me. So my appeal as I come to this phrase this morning is that no matter what we've experienced in the past, and I've been this has been on me for weeks for here. And I just feel that God wants to throw out an invitation for participation. And I feel for you as a church, for you as individuals, for myself included, it's like the Holy Spirit wants to say, will you work with me? Can I work with you? Do you know, I don't know about you, but I've tried sometimes to do it on my own. And I've made a huge mess. And then there are times when you just think, I'm just walking alongside, working with, and watching what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I'm kind of saying, can I get involved here? And the Spirit of God helps me to walk and work with Him. It's a participation in the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do is take this word participation. And I want to take the understanding of that word in its original language by a man called William Barclay. Don't agree with everything he says, but Barclay takes this word participation and he breaks it out into three composite parts. And it's almost like they're kind of levels. And I want to take these three things. It's like Sunday afternoon for me is Antiques Roadshow. Love Antiques Roadshow. And I love that, as it for Fiona Bruce, where she has that competition. Basic, best, or better, or best. And you have three. Basic, better, or best. And she never really gets it right. I don't either, but I just love that. What I'm giving you right now is the participation in the Spirit. I'm going to give you the basic. I'm going to give you the better. And I want to give you the best. Because I believe God is hungry for people who will say, Holy Spirit, I've seen people mess this up. I've seen it go terribly wrong. I've seen things said and done in your name that clearly is not in line with Scripture. But after all of that, I still believe without you, I cannot do anything of eternal significance. Amen? So let's go to this first one. That we participate in the Spirit. Barclay suggests that the very basis of this is friendship. Friendship. It's called friendship with the Spirit. Now, natural friendship is on a kind of a continuum, line of continuum. You can go from casual friendship to close, committed friendship. And it's a kind of a line of continuum. And we can all be on those lines, you know, casual. We can be casual with the things of the Spirit. We can make it out as if the things of the Spirit are just a one day a week. Okay, it's Sunday. This is the spiritual day. This is when we engage the Holy Spirit. I believe the participation in the Holy Spirit is as much Monday through to Saturday as it is Sunday. What I grew up in was a locking the things of the Spirit into Sunday gatherings. I believe the Spirit of God wants to break out into society and for us to exercise the gifts of the Spirit within the community in which we're in. In a very, as it were, natural way to be engaging words of knowledge, words of wisdom, insight, understanding, bringing prayers into situation, that we are men and women of the Spirit. You know, when the Bible talks about friendship, it talks about the kind of friendship you can call on. You know the friend at midnight? Go knock on the door at midnight. There's not many people I'd do that with. If I was stuck in a city, I might now know him Matt a bit more. If I was stuck at midnight and needed somewhere, I'd go and call him. Say, Matt, it's Chris, and I'm stuck. And he would help me out. The Spirit of God is, there is a degree of participation that is a friend. friendship where we could call on Him. Holy Spirit, help me right now. I used to work in shop fitting. And I'm a carpenter and joiner by trade, but then I went into shop fitting, which was a totally different ballgame. We made counters for the perfume people like Lancôme and Estée Lauder and all of those. Ladies, I know why you pay high prices for your perfume, because these counters cost thousands and thousands of pounds. We ship them all over the world. And they would give me a plan of something to make. And you know, I'd look at the plan and I'd look confident. Yeah, okay. And inside I'd be, oh no, I have no idea how to construct this thing. How do you do that? And I would take the plans and I would go in the bathroom and I'd start praying, Lord help. Holy Spirit, you need to help me right now. I don't know how to do this. You say, well, is that okay? Yeah, I believe the Spirit of God is a friend who's concerned with every aspect of my life. As a parent, he's interested in how I parent. As a business person, he's interested in my business. As a human being, he wants me to befriend him and call on him. A friend is someone you can count on. Someone who'll be there when you need them. A friend that sticks closer than a brother, the proverb says. A friend is someone who will care for you and carry you. Remember the four friends that carried that lame mate of theirs, that buddy that they took up under the roof, ripped the roof open and lowered them down? A true friend will do whatever he can to get you to Jesus. The Spirit of God doesn't want to glorify himself. He wants to glorify Christ. And the Spirit of God is constantly wanting to bring us nearer to Jesus. Nearer to Jesus is when you read the scripture, this is potentially one of the most boring books in the world. But when the Spirit of God gets a hold of it, He mugs you. He illuminates the text and it springs out and you think, wow, that is brilliant. That's the Spirit of God. That's the friendship of the Spirit whereby He illuminates. When you're in conversation, you think, God, I need help right now. What do I say next? You're calling on the Spirit. The Spirit of God challenges you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The basic level of spiritual living is this friendship. Friendship. Do you know when God made Adam and Eve? He set them in the garden. He set them in a spiritual environment. It says that when God came to converse with Adam and Eve, He came in the cool of the day. The word cool is the Hebrew word ruach. It's the same word used for spirit, Holy Spirit. So within a spiritual environment, God came to communicate with spiritual beings, man, body, soul, and spirit. And it's in that environment that God wants to communicate with us day by day in a spiritual environment. Whether we're saying, Spirit of God, speak to me. I want to be that individual who's conversing with God. Next level, partnership. William Barclay says of this word, participation, it not only means on its basic level, friendship, another level is partnership. I don't know whether you've ever been in partnership with anyone. But I tell you what, it's totally different to friendship. It is totally different to being friends. Two friends say, well, should we go into partnership together? Suddenly, the level of risk and responsibility goes up. It ramps it up because suddenly you're putting your own resources into a relationship. You're taking greater risk. It is a responsibility. If this thing goes down, we both go down together. Partnership has a whole risk element to it. It's costly. It involves risk. The Spirit of God wants to partner with us. And I want us to come to the place where we say, Holy Spirit, what's God up to? I want to read from, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to go to another scripture in Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm reading from verse 9. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things, these are the unimaginable things, God has revealed to us through the Spirit, Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, I love this, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For he who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. It's this picture of the Holy Spirit searching the deep things of the Father's heart and coming to reveal them to us in a spiritual transaction. The Holy Spirit interacting with our spirit, causing us to do the right thing at the right time in the right way. This is the way spiritual gifts and graces work. It's like you call a plumber into your house because you have a problem. They look at the situation and the challenge and think, okay, I see what needs to happen here. And so they reach into their bag and bring out a tool. It will be a particular tool to do that job. In any given situation, God sees the challenge. And God might say to you, I want to use you in this challenge. Maybe a boardroom meeting. Maybe in a school, a teacher's meeting. But suddenly there is a challenge that everyone is facing. And God says, okay, sunshine, you are now going to bring the word of wisdom into this situation. It's not going to be thus saith the Lord. It's going to be, I would like to suggest maybe this is a way to approach this. And suddenly there's a word of knowledge, creating a word of wisdom that you are bringing a resource of heaven on earth. We've got to get out of the kind of setting whereby we've spiritualized everything into a local church context. We've locked the Spirit of God up. We've boxed Him in. And He wants to break out of our box and say, I want to go with you Monday through to Monday. I want to 24/7 be with you. And I will lead you into situations. You say, what am I doing here? Well, you're here because I want to use you. I want to use you as a tool into this challenging situation. I don't know whether I told you this last time, but we had a friend of ours who was not a teacher, but used to be called by schools into the conflict situations to help them resolve issues between parents and school. Because they recognized in this person who was a spirit-filled, born-again, spirit-filled believer, that they had conflict resolution within them. And they didn't go overboard and go all religious. They just relaxed in their gift and they brought a word of wisdom into a situation. God help us to break out and bring the Spirit of God into every setting we find ourselves in. Again, I'm using someone else's illustration, but I remember this particular prophet individual who was, his wife said, we're out of cheese. Would you go get some cheese? I said, okay. You may have even heard this story. He's walking up to the cheese counter in some delicatessen. And as he's walking up, God said, that lady behind the counter was up at 3 o'clock this morning in tears over a daughter she has not seen for I don't know how many years it is. I'd like you to tell her that her daughter is going to call her at 2:15 on Tuesday afternoon and there's going to be a reconciliation between her daughter and this is a true story. So he walks up to the cheese counter. He said, before I have asked for some cheese, does this make sense to you that you were up at 3 o'clock this morning in tears over your daughter and you haven't seen your daughter for so many years? And the lady starts weeping and crying. She says, yes, yes, that's true. Well, let me share with you. Your daughter's going to call you at 2:15 on Tuesday afternoon, whatever it was. And you need to be by the phone ready because there's going to be a reconciliation between you and your daughter. And what happened was, on whatever the time was, the day was, she sat by her phone and her daughter was walking through, I think it was Regent Street in London. And suddenly she felt this overwhelming urge to call her mother. She found a telephone and called her mother. And the subsequent outcome of all of that, they were reconciled together. And a few Sundays after, they were in a church together and both became followers of Christ. I think, wow, God, could we have more of that, please? A little bit more? Can we have more of that? I'd like to have stories that have had the Spirit of God has interacted with us. I'm praying right now as I'm saying this because I feel for some of you, you've experienced things in the past that are not helping you in your present. That they are, if you're not careful, there'll be weights that hold you back. And I have seen and experienced some horrible things under the name of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is God's agent for this day and generation. He is the one who's sent to help us to live as sons and daughters of the living God. Otherwise, we'll live as orphans. And orphans are not certain about their past. They're not certain about their future. They're insecure in where they presently are because they don't know anything of their past. But as sons, they know where they've come from. They know where they're going to. And they stand upright in their inheritance of who they are. And this is where God wants us to be. As those who are into a relation, into a partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that brings us to my final level, the level of relationship. Relationship. Barclay says this is the ultimate of participation, fellowship, koinonia. It's one thing being engaged, it's another thing being married. I'll say that. You don't have to say amen to that, but I will be careful, yes. You know, it's all loveliness and sweetness. And they say you don't know a person until you live with them. And marriage, well, it does have its challenges, doesn't it? So I'm not sure what I should say anything right there. Marriage is a covenant. It's a commitment. It's something that has to be worked at. We've been married now 47 years? A long time. I said 47 is a long time. And marriage has its challenges. But the word participation here in classical Greek, the ultimate level of participation was classified as the marriage, was the commitment of marriage, lifetime together. I think there is a level of life in the Spirit that is all about union and communion. I don't know if you've ever been in, we used to call them prophetic assemblies. It's when we would prepare ourselves and we would have men and women come in who clearly had prophetic gifts. I was in America when I first experienced this. This guy with a prophetic gift came up to me and said, you know, you've been walking around this swimming pool for years. God's coming this morning and giving you an almighty push. He wants to push you in. And I don't know whether I believe this was of God. He says, your wife is like a cattle prod, electric cattle prod, you know, that you can't move the cattle that comes and prods you. He says, that's what your wife's like, and that's absolutely true. Sometimes I'm reticent. She could prod me. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's what God's saying. I'm a bit slow on that. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this. I believe there is coming a time, and we need to balance it all with Scripture, please. All I'm saying has to be balanced with the Word. And we don't have to be held up by our traditions, though the tradition of the truth has to be held up and valued. But let's be careful we don't get so locked in our past because our angle of approach is based on our education, experience, and our environment. When my own pastor got filled with the Holy Spirit, he'd heard so many stories, he was scared to death. Someone says, when I was first overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in a whole new language, I shot across the room. Someone else said, I was well knocked out of my, I just flat out. So he knelt by the side of his bed and surrounded himself with cushions and said, Holy Spirit, if you want me, you can fill me. And you know, gently the Holy Spirit just filled him and filled him and filled him. And out of his innermost being, rivers flowed. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he began to speak in a whole new language as the Holy Spirit began to fill him. We need to have a union and communion, an intimacy with the person of the Spirit like as never before. I am so excited at what is potentially going to happen with the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation. I believe we are potentially on the edge of such a phenomenal move that we will be shocked. There is part of me says that I am tired of reading of revivals, move of the Spirit in the past. I want to be part of a move of the Spirit of the present. But I don't want to be involved in something that's wacky and weird. I want to be something that glorifies Christ and magnifies His Word. And what I believe is that God is challenging you and me today. We can either be one of two things. We either can be spectators or participators. We either stand back and watch and say, isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? Oh, I think that's wonderful. Or God might just need to come behind us and give us a gentle push into the deep end and think, God, I want to be overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you to so fill me. It's the being filled with the Spirit that Paul talks about. Not just an initial filling. It's fill me afresh, Holy Spirit, so that out of my innermost being, rivers will flow. That out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth might speak. And Lord, when I need to speak, I'll speak. But when I need to shut up, I'll shut up. And so the invitation this morning is a participation. It's an invitation for participation, to be open to the things of the Spirit. And I want to pray for you because I hope, Lord, forgive me, but and you need to forgive me. I think some of us have experienced things in the past that we need to jettison. And some things I don't understand. And I need to say, Father, I'm giving that to you. I don't understand it. Don't know why they said that or did that. It didn't seem right to me. But I want to be open to the things of the Spirit. And that's not saying we want to be so open to things that it gets weird. That's not God. Ultimately, the Spirit comes to glorify the Son. And in glorifying the Son, the kingdom gets extended. And that's what we want. Holy Spirit, use me. I want a friendship with the Spirit, yes. I want, as it were, a partnership that we're working together, yes. But I want a relationship that is union and communion. I'll finish with this story. I'm almost ashamed to tell it, but I will tell it. I remember watching once when there was a whole move of the Spirit. And I particularly watched certain individuals, and when they prayed for people, it was so clear that God was in that moment. And I kind of got a bit envious. Why is it when you pray for people, things happen? When I pray for people, nothing happens. What is it? And this person just simply said to me, I stand back and see what God's doing. And then I go and join in with Him. Far easier. So I'm saying, God, what are you doing here? What do you want to do? Okay, can we join in with you? Can we partner with you in this? It's simply, what's God doing in Chester? What does God want to do in Chester? What does God want to do in City Church, Chester? What does He want to do? But more than that, what does He want to do in me? What does He want to do through me? And Holy Spirit, I'm going to make myself available. Here I am. There's a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I don't agree with all the, you know, you may or may not agree with it. But one thing I do like about it, bless him, Benny Hinn used to get up every morning, and I'm saying the name. I'm not saying I agree with everything that goes on under the name. But he says, good morning, Holy Spirit. What's on the line today? What do you have in mind today? Because I'd like to work with you. Could I work with you? And think, that's simply what I'm saying. It's an invitation for participation. Holy Spirit, when you get up tomorrow morning, what's on your mind, God? What do you like to do? What would you like me to be involved in? Partnering with the Spirit is also learning to say no. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And sometimes that's the hardest thing. It's saying no, but it's also saying yes to the things of the Spirit.